Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everybody, In the Clinch, MMA podcast on the Fight Game Media Network. Paul Fontaine alongside Ryan Frederick. I want to thank you all for joining us here on the free feed. Make sure to leave us a five-star review and subscribe if you haven't already. It helps out the website, helps keep us going and everything like that. Probably not going to have a super long show tonight because we had no UFC this past weekend. No MMA of note really at all with the AFC and NFC conference finals going on. And we do have a show to preview, and so Ryan, you mentioned that you want to do our preview a little bit differently this time.
Well, no, we're going to do it differently. When I do the rundown, I'm going to do it a little bit differently.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Okay. So, I will say, I say this all the time, but if you had said to me, if you had read and said anything and said, hey, don't Google it. Don't pull up topology or anything. What's the main event this weekend? If you had said this to me, before you sent me the notes, I wouldn't have. Yeah, I couldn't have done it for $1,000. I'll tell you right now. Like, I had no idea. It's actually a pretty interesting fight in the main event. It is an Apex main event for sure.
Yeah, this is one of those cards where the main event should be the co-main event, and the co-main event should be the main event.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah. I mean, yeah, because of the four, I would say probably, well, I don't know. Yeah, you know what? Honestly, both guys in the co-main are probably bigger names than the guys in the main. And if you're talking about rankings, it's about the same. I mean, I guess
rankings
the middleweight. Yeah, like the main event or the co-main?
The
co-main slightly lower, right? Yeah. I mean, really, in terms of rankings, probably the flyweight fight is the biggest fight on the card, but the female flyweight fight. But I mean, you're not main eventing with that. I mean, you could.
Nobody cares about that. Yeah.
No. But I mean, you could. I mean, it's like nobody's. I mean, let's be honest. Nobody's watching this show, anyways. Although, there's no football this week, so maybe. I don't know. It's Pro Bowl, right? But nobody watches the Pro Bowl.
That's on Saturday, on Sunday anyway. Plus,
is it
format?
Yeah. What are they doing? Flag football?
Flag football and skills competitions now, because the guys.
Yeah,
that's basically what it's been anyway. It's just two hand touch.
For NHL All Star Game. NHL All Star Game's going on Saturday too, and I don't even know what the format is. Like I think they used to do 3-on-3 for the divisions. So you had there's four divisions and they're doing that, but I don't think that's what they're doing this year. I think it's something else. And I don't even know what it is. They're doing the gimmick where the captains draft like the NBA. So I don't know, maybe it's two teams. I really have no idea. Yeah. I'm going to watch it, but I have no idea what the format is. I just record the PVR and, I'll watch it later, but
Saturday I'll be watching UFC. So
yeah. Well, me too. I'll probably watch the All-Star game after I watch UFC. So, UFC, honestly though, this week, it's probably the priority for me. There's not much else going on. So, main event is, I haven't said it yet. Roman Dolidze and Nazardin Imavov. Legends in their own country. I mean, this is this would be like a main event for if they did a fight night in Europe, used to do sometimes. But it's at the Apex.
Like they need to do, since half the card's bitching about fighting at the Apex already.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, honestly, if they did this in, somewhere in somewhere in like Germany or something, like he'd probably sell a lot of tickets, you know. And and there's a lot of like Eastern European fighters on the card. And, you know, you got the Diana Bobito, Muslim Salikov, Azat Maxim, you know. So it would be a good card for that, but no, it's at the Apex. And as a lot of shows are going to be coming up, I just got an email about one on March 23rd. I guess that we already knew that one, but yeah. Great main event there too. Actually, that one's probably pretty good, Rosenami Yunus. But so Nasser Namedimov and Roman Dolidze. What do you think about this fight?
Well, first off, two guys coming off losses, so big, you know, big fight for both of them trying to rebound. Neither of them has fought in a while. Dolidze hasn't fought since the March show in London, when he lost to Marvin Vettori ending a four fight win streak. And Imavov hasn't fought since June. June had that no contest with Chris Curtis for the accidental clutch of heads. And then before that, it was January last year when he lost to Sean Strickland in the Apex. So yeah, second main event for Imavov. Yeah, that's right. First for Dolidze. So, you know, some new blood in the main event. Interesting fight. Dolidze, primarily a wrestler, you know, good wrestling, but he's got good hands. A lot of last three wins have been by knockout, you know, especially his last one was finishing Jack Hermanson. That was an impressive one, but yeah, you know, he's both good on the feet. Imavov, you know, nine finishes, 12 wins. You know, his last one was a decision over Joaquin Buckley, but then he finished the last two before that. So yeah, you know, they're pretty evenly matched in my opinion. And yeah, interesting fight. Winner's going to stay, you know, kind of in the mix at middleweight and you need some fresh blood, but loser's going to take a huge step back and it's going to be tough to get back in. But it's an interesting main event. Not a super like exciting like matchup, but it could be a really good fight and very close, I believe, on the betting odds when I last looked. But I don't have a ton to say about it, but you know, just it's a good fight.
Imavov is a slight favorite at -150 as we're recording. I think there's a good chance that this one doesn't go 25 minutes. Both these guys have, you know, shown ability to finish. As you said, it's an important fight for both guys. So I think they would want to impress and, you know, get a fight maybe against a top five guy, coming off a win here. So we'll see. But for me, you know, and I assume this was going to be one of your fights to watch unless you want to talk a little bit more in depth about it.
I want to talk a little bit more in depth about it. Yeah.
Yeah. The co-main, which is Renato Moicano and Drew Dober. And, you know, if you've listened to this show before, you know, I love Drew Dober. You know, he was a guy that underrated, had like a really, really good 2022. Not quite as, you know, he only fought once or twice in 2023, lost one by knockout. So really four of his last fights, he's won by knockout, you know, so still pretty damn good record and a very exciting fighter. You know, most of his fights are finishes. He's only gone to a decision a few times. And he's always a guy that's a must watch. You know, he's a great promo, totally likable guy. He's been around forever and he's 35 years old, but he doesn't look it. You know, he looks like he's 25. And big fan. And then Moicano is a guy that, you know, featherweight, he was a contender for years. And then, you know, he moved up and kind of been, you know, he's got a lot of losses. But I mean, man, you look at his last five losses, like, why is that all his losses? Five? Yeah.
Yeah.
His only five losses have been to basically former champions or, you know, like, I mean, Rafael Dos Anjos, Rafael Fiziev, Korean Zombie, Jose Aldo, and Brian Ortega. Those are like really big names.
And he's beating
guys, Brad Riddell in his last fight.
Yeah, he's beating guys like Calvin Kattar and Cub Swanson and Demir Hadzovic and, yeah, Brad Riddell in his last fight. You know, he's – Money Moicano.
I gotta mute something in the background here.
Oh, Paul, just, you know, I'm gonna go ahead and keep on talking. You know, Money Moicano, you know, big. Wow.
Sorry about that.
Okay. Yeah. There's some dead air. There's some dead air there. But yeah, because I was trying to talk, but my conversation was like, I needed somebody to talk to other than the listener.
Yeah. Sorry about that. Go ahead with your
Money
point.
Yeah. Money Moicano. You know, very exciting fighter and a hell of a promo too. That's one of the things about this fight being in Apex because I mean both these guys. You know, obviously it's going to be likely going to be an exciting fight, but both these guys, they know how to get the attention of the crowds, you know, afterwards. Moicano, his last, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 wins have all been by submission. And yeah, the 3 in the first round, hell, you know, exciting fighter. And then Drew Dober, of course, like you were saying, bunch of knockouts, you know, all of his last 7 wins have all been by knockout. So yeah, these, and it's only 3 rounds when it should be 5. Like I wish this was a 5 round, but 3 rounds is going to bring out the craziness in both of them. It's going to be an exciting fight. And like I said, I really wish this was not in the Apex and this was in front of fans because it deserves it. And Moicano has been one of those guys who's been like, you know, saying, you know, in interviews leading up this week over the last couple of days, you know, with Ariel Helwani and MMA Junkie, like he hates the Apex, and you know, and he said the fans hate the Apex. You know, I want to be fighting in front of fans, not in front of 20 people. You know, and you know, Charles Johnson is another one on the card that I heard talking about it. It's like get these guys out of the Apex. They want to fight in front of fans because Moicano said it best. Like he likes to feed off the energy of the fans, and literally 95% of the fighters will tell you the same thing. They want that crowd there. They, you know, we're a broken record on this show about getting out of the Apex, you know, mm-hmm. but yeah, this one is to me the fight to watch on this card.
There, you know, there's been some conjecture in our little world that we live in about these post event press conferences and what they are and what they aren't. But I would really love for somebody to ask Dana at one of these things, why do you keep going to the Apex? Like, I just want to hear his answer. I don't know what he'd say, but has someone asked him ever, like, in all these things?
Maybe not necessarily.
I mean, I guess I could have when I was there in March, but
yeah, maybe not necessarily at a post-event scrum. I think he has been asked, but I know, okay. You know, when they were up in Toronto a few weeks ago, and he's doing his little sit down with Aaron Bronstetter, and Aaron brought it up, and you know, he gave the same answer he's been given for the last year and a half, 2 years. Like, we know we need to get out of the Apex and blah blah blah, the same political answer, but yet they still keep going there. So yeah. it's like, you know, I feel like they know, but they also see all the money that they're making and they're not really out of a hurry because of that.
Yeah, know? I know. It's just like, I don't even get the money thing.
And it's like, it's like I've been saying on this show for years now, ever since we started, like in this sentence seems to grow more and more as the days go by, but they care less about what the fans think now more than they ever have. And that may not necessarily be Dana,
yeah.
You know, Dana
yeah.
and Hunter Campbell and Sean Shelby and Maynard, they may still leave in fans, but I'm talking about as a company overall. And a lot of this stuff is directed from the top down. And some of these decisions are made by people above Dana, but you know, it's like they care less and less about what the fans think overall lately. You know, they used to be in the Fertitta days, like if Lorenzo was listening to the fans and doing it and the fans wanted something, he'd do everything he can to make that happen. And now it's like the fans want something, you know, Dana may try to make it happen, but if he doesn't have final say, then it's like, you know, whatever. And then he just, you know, he'll, you know, come up with whatever kind of corporate answer he wants to give.
Crazy. Yeah. Yeah. So it's coming right from Ariel, like, or Ari Emanuel then, I guess. But
yeah, maybe, and, you know, not necessarily Ari Emanuel, but you know, people who on the corporate side who or setting budgets yeah. and all that, you know, maybe, you know,
who knows, you know. But I mean, and I guess what it would probably take is for ESPN to kind yeah. of step in and say, and, you know, like said, no more of these.
Yeah. And that's what I kind of said when we were talking about new TV deals, you know, maybe yeah. it takes a TV partner to be like, to tell them, you know,
maybe that's a bargaining chip in the next negotiations. And yeah. maybe that, you know, maybe it's a strategy that they're, you know, they're going to load up on these Apex shows and then they're going to tell the next people, hey, you know what? You pay us more money. We'll go on the road.
Yeah.
You know,
there it is. Yeah. You know, could be a simple thing, of they're trying to get fight nights with site fees too, you know, and
yeah, you're not gonna pay us, yeah. And
if you're not going to pay us money, we'll just stay at the Apex, you know?
Yeah. That's yeah. That could be. Yeah. Cause I mean, yeah, you can do a $2 million gate, but hey, if you can get another $2 million in site fee, then
yeah,
you know, that's 4 million.
Yeah.
So yeah. And meanwhile, they're getting 13 or more for, you know, and it'll probably be 20 with the next deal, per show for these fight nights. So yeah. No matter if not even one single fan shows up, it's kind of like the NFL in that way. I mean, the buildings could be empty and they're still making profits.
Like, yeah.
So, yeah, so that's the two big fights in the, you know, the main and the co-main again, you know, guys kind of hovering around the top 10 in both fights, yeah, a little bit lower in the with the middle, the lightweights. But you got three fights to watch. I'm looking at this card and it's not bad. I've seen worse.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's
first one on the list is going to be a welterweight fight that's on the main card. Randy Brown against Muslim Salikov. I like this matchup too. Randy Brown, he's a coming off a win over Wellington Turman. Turman has won five of his last six, with the only loss coming to Jack Della Maddalena. And if you actually look at it, he's won seven of his last nine, and the other losses to Vicente Luque. So like he's only losing to top guys. And when we saw him come in the UFC, he was one of the big guys off of Dana. He might have been the first or second guy.
I think he was the first. Yeah. Him or Mickey Gall?
Yeah, one of those. I can't remember exactly who was the first, but coming off of Dana White's looking for a fight, was 6-0. You know, kind of struggled at the start of his UFC career. Won three of his first four, but then lost two of three. But ever since that loss to Nico Price back in 2018, you know, he's got on this run where he's only lost to Luque and Maddalena, and he's improved in front of everybody's eyes, and he's a, you know, to the point where he's knocking on the rankings door.
Yeah.
And then Salikov, he's been in the sport for a long time. A lot of accolades, you know, he got the unofficial gold medal in the Olympic Games of Beijing Wushu? Yeah.
Oh, I think
that's what it was.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the Wushu. You know, all the, you know, lots of kickboxing record, you know, 199 kickboxing bouts, won 185 of them, you know, then, you know, 19 wins and 23 MMA fights. He's lost two of his last three, kind of, you know, kind of struggling a little bit, but this big chance for him to bounce back. And he's an exciting fighter.
To be fair, you know, that last fight, I mean, he was kind of blinded by science, don't you think?
What do you mean? Oh, Nicholas Dolby? What are you talking about?
Sorry. The song, Thomas Dolby, Blinded by Science. Sorry. Bad attempt at a joke. But you know, he's actually won. You mentioned 7-9 for Brown, and Salikov's won six of his last eight. So,
yeah.
You know, like both these guys are not
yeah.
bad.
Yeah. Another one I'm looking at, a prelim fight, welterweight fight, Thimba Garimbo against Pete Rodriguez. More so on Garimbo, I think he's a guy to keep an eye on. If you've kind of listened, if you've been paying attention to his social media, he was talking about how he's a big fan of The Rock, and he was talking about how he had little money, and The Rock actually bought him a house. So So and then, you know, and because he likes Garimbo's story, I think he's, I forget what his record off. I don't have it in front of me. I've had a whole lot of stuff. I think he's
Garimbo, unbeaten. 11-4.
Garimbo, 11-4, but I think he's unbeaten in the UFC. Or
I lost to AJ Fletcher in his debut.
Yeah, lost to AJ Fletcher, but okay, yeah, in his debut. Won his last fight. That was a fight canceled too earlier from this fight. But yeah, coming off a win over Takashi Sato, and then Pete Rodriguez filling in on short notice. Yeah, he had that win over your boy Mike Jackson.
Yeah,
in his last fight, you know, his third UFC fight, you know, very kind of inexperienced, only has 6 professional fights so far, but more so this one to keep an eye on Garimbo. And then my last one, you know, I'm going to go with a middleweight fight on the main card. Ali Askab Kizriev against Mahmud Muradov. I like Kizriev a lot in this fight. He's 14-0. How many finishes is it? Sorry. Yeah, nine finishes, coming off a win over Dennis Tallulin in his last fight. And then and Mahmud Muradov, you know, he came in the UFC with a lot of hype. He was, you know, one of Floyd Mayweather. These guys came in with a 22-6 record. You know, 1-3 straight to get started, and then suffered a couple of losses to Gerald Meerschaert and Cal Borallo, but bounced back with a win over Brian Barberina in his last fight, and this is a solid matchup here. So, yeah, those three.
All right. And I think I did a quick look, and I believe we only got the one undefeated fighter on the card, and that is Azat Maksim, fighting a flyweight fighting against... too. Oh, is he? Okay, yeah. Sorry, I missed that. You didn't, and you know, this could have been one of your fights to watch too. Real interesting fight at flyweight with Charles Johnson. Maxim's got the one UFC fight, you know, that he split decision win in his last fight. And yeah, Ali Askab Kizriev, middleweight, Mahmud Muradov. That's an interesting fight too on the main card. Kizriev is 14-0. 15 straight wins because he's got an amateur win, but also got a knockout win in his UFC debut, and on one on the Contender Series as well. You scroll through his record, he's got a lot of early KOs. So, and when we know that Mahmud Muradov's got a lot of power too. So, there, I'm looking at this card and I see like a lot of these fights that could, you know, be explosive, and this might end up being a sneaky good card, and 13 fights, but. They might not last that long, you know, because they tend to just roll through these Apex cards. So, but take us through the rest of this card with how you want to do this.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to go fight by fight, and I'm going to give people who may be interested in betting odds the current odds of each fight.
Okay.
So that way, and give you kind of how I feel about the betting odds, but and before we do our best bets, but I give the prelims. Now everything's on ESPN Plus this weekend. Prelims are at 4 Eastern time. Main card's at 7 Eastern time. So we kick off with heavyweight fight. Thomas Peterson against Jamal Pokes. Now I'm going off of the betting odds that are listed here on ESPN.com on the card. So, but whichever book you have, but I think they use DraftKings for their odds. But anyway, so Peterson's a -170 favorite. Pokes is a +140 underdog. Peterson's making his debut, 8-1. Pogues is 10-4. I actually like Peterson at that price tag. You know, they're both guys who have to cut to make 265. You know, Peterson last weighed in 264. Pogues at 266. Pogues is a little longer reach, but Peterson's a better wrestler. I think he's going to use his wrestling, and then I like him at the -170. Then we have a lightweight fight, Landon Quinones against the debutant Markel Medeiros. Medeiros is the favorite. He's a -135 favorite. Quinones is +115. Yeah, I agree with those odds. You know, Medeiros, I would probably slightly favor, but it's pretty much a toss-up. toss up there on that one. Then we have a women's. This one's a flyweight. Yeah, this one's a flyweight because these ladies kind of bounce around every once in a while between 135, 125. But it's Luana Carolina against Julija Stoliarenko. Stoliarenko is minus 125 favorite. Carolina is plus 105 underdog. Yeah, pretty much a pick 'em fight there. Stoliarenko has gotten a couple submission wins in a row lately after some losses, and then Carolina, you know, she's solid. So yeah, I like, you know, I actually lean towards the underdog on this one. And then, all right, next up we have a featherweight fight, Jianglong Li against Blake Builder. Lee's a minus 150 favorite. Builder's at plus 125 underdog. Lee is from the last road to UFC. He got a win. Builder's coming off a. I wish I had a Tapology card listed up, because most of these guys don't have Wikipedia. I have everything but that.
I got them here.
What's Builder?
What are you looking for Pete?
Builder.
He's 8-1-1.
He's 8-1-1. I know that. I got. Is he coming off a loss to Kyle?
Yeah, 1-1 in UFC. Yeah. Big upset in that Kyle Nelson fight, if I remember right.
Yeah. Big upset there. Upset there, and you know, like I said, Lee. This is his second UFC fight, even though his first one was a road to contender. Hasn't fought in a year. But a very impressive record. You know, seven finishes and 10 wins. So. There's that.
A lot of finishes for me too.
I favor Lee in this one. Then we have a welterweight fight. I talked about Thimba Garimbo against Pete Rodriguez. Garimbo favorite at minus 250. Rodriguez plus 205. Garimbo more experience, more raw talent in my opinion. I favor him. In that one. Then we have the flyweight fight, Azat Maxim against Charles Johnson. Maxim is minus 210 favorite. Johnson's plus 175 underdog. Maxim undefeated, 17-0. Johnson, he's looked solid, but unspectacular. He's also taken this fight on short notice. He's lost three in a row. Even so, this is a must win, but it's a tough must win. You know, and I think Maxim is the play for sure on this. On this one, then closing out the prelims, this is actually going to be a strawweight, Molly McCann against Diana Belbita. McCann's minus 275 favorite. Belbita's plus 225 underdog. You know, I hate to say this because I know Paul's a big Molly McCann fan, but there's a lot of value in Belbita at that price. Both these ladies, you know, they're hit or miss. I mean, McCann's lost two in a row, but before that, she had won three in a row, and then before that, she lost two in a row. And they actually fought once before back in 2019, and McCann won a decision. But since then, she's 3-4, and Belbita, since then, she's, what, 2-3. So, yeah, I just, you know. Let's just say neither one of them are great. Neither one of them are even title contenders, but at those odds, like I would look at Belbita, you know, even though she's got the loss to McCann in the past, but I just think she's just, you know, a little better right now. And then on to the main card, kicks off with the welterweight fight, Gilbert Urbina against Charles Radke. Urbina's minus 210 favorite. Radke's plus 175 underdog. I think, you know, Radke's one of those guys from the Australia card.
Yep.
who made some unfortunate comments, which kind of hindered him because he had a good showing in beating Blood Diamond on that card, even though Blood Diamond's not that great of a fighter. But it's 1-5 in a row, you know, and a pretty solid record. And then Gilbert Urbina is a coming off a win over Orion Koske, but before that, lost to Brian Battle in the Ultimate Fighter finale. Been kind of inactive, only one official fight in the last, two official fights since 2019. So going on, you know, over 4 years So, you know, at plus 175, Radke, you know, I think he's worth a flyer on that one. Then we have the middleweight fight.
You know, since Sabrina lost to Battle, he's only fought once, and Battle's won, fought five times.
Yeah. And, Paul, feel, you know, if you have any thoughts on some of these odds, feel free to chime in at any time. Anytime. So, all right. And then, I should have told you that ahead of time. But anyway, next we have middleweight fight, Ali Askev, Kizriev gets Makhmurdov that I talked about. Kizriev is minus 175, Makhmurdov is plus 145. You know, those odds are right, in my opinion. Kizriev undefeated, but he's got less UFC experience. But I do favor him, nine finishes out of 14 wins. The only downside is he has only just the one single UFC fight, whereas Murdoff has a lot of experience. But I favor Kizriev in this one. Then we have the women's flyweight fight, Vivian Araújo against Natalia Silva. Silva's the favorite, minus 350 favorite over Araújo, is plus 270 underdog. Now, those odds are surprising to me, and I think Araújo is a good bet at that. Silva has won 10 straight fights, including four in a row in the UFC. Has looked really good in the UFC. He's got two finishes. But Araújo, she's fought some of the biggest names in the division, coming off a win over Jennifer Maia. But she's also fought Amanda Ribas, Alexa Grasso, Andrea Lee, Caitlin Chukagian, Roxanne Modafferi, Jessica Eye, Alexis Davis. You know, she's got a lot of experience. And Silva, Silva is an upcoming talent in the division. And Araújo is actually ranked higher. But this is one of those fights where, you know, you kind of have that design of it's supposed to be a big showcase win for Silva. But Araújo, especially at those odds, plus 270, she's worth a bet, in my opinion.
I would say more often than not in UFC, when you see someone in that 200 to plus 300 range, there's usually value in those. Yeah. I don't know what it is, but the ones that are in the 100s, those are usually right. And the ones that are like big favorites, those are usually right. But you can make money on these 200 to 300 ones.
Yeah, exactly. So, like you said,
I agree. I agree on the Araújo, though. I was surprised.
Yeah. Yeah, and then you could say the same thing for the next fight, which is one of my fights to watch, the welterweight fight, Randy Brown against Muslim Salikov. You know, we talked about Brown being looking better recently, and he's the minus 260 favorite. Salikov's plus 210. A lot of value in Salikov at that plus 210. I do personally favor Brown, but this is a close one, and Salikov does have a lot of power and the ability to finish fights. So that's when it comes to what you're looking at as far as betting, Salikov is at that price tag is somebody to look at too. And then next, co-main event, Renato Moicano against Drew Dober. Moicano's the favorite, minus 180, and Drew Dober's plus 150. Like we said, this fight is a crazy matchup, and they both are going to go for the finish and both going for the kill. So I lean towards Moicano winning this. But Dober at plus 150, if you're making a bet, and the fact with his power, I don't blame you if you want to put money down, and I think it'd be a good bet. But I also think, you know, that one inside the distance is a good bet as well on that.
We'll be getting to this one on my props. I'll just tell you that.
Props, and then the main event, Roman Dolidze against Nasruddin Imavov at 185 pounds. Imavov, to my surprise, is actually the favorite, minus 170, and Dolidze plus 140. At those odds, I lean towards Dolidze. He's looked much better recently, aside from that loss to Vittori, but he had won four in a row before then, three finishes before then. And, you know, Imavov, winless in his last two, hasn't been super active, very talented. I tend to favor Dolidze at those odds. But I think it'll be a very high level and highly contested main event.
Yeah, I agree. That one's almost a pick 'em. So you're getting value at the plus 140. All right, you ready for my my props?
Yeah. Let me pull up my little document here. I'm ready for you.
All right. I mentioned earlier that I think there's going to be a lot of finishes on this card, and so actually, all of mine are that. I got Molly McCann winning inside the distance, so I'm going against you because you said Belvita was a good value, and you know, and maybe she is at what did we say it was 225, and of course that's what I said. You know, people in the 200 300 range are good bets, but I like Molly McCann. If she's going to win, it's going to be in the distance. Okay. And I got Moicano and Drew Dober. I'm just going to predict this fight is going to not last 15 minutes, so it's going to end. Before the, you know, I guess you would go maybe under 2.5 or under 3. Like someone's finishing somebody in that fight, I believe. And I also say Themba Garimbo.
We'll put on that one does not go the distance because I think that's a prop bet for a fight to not go the distance.
Yeah, so that's what we're going with. And Garimbo and Pete Rodriguez, that one's going to end in the first. I'm saying that, and it could be either guy. Probably Garimbo, but I'll just be safe and say inside the first round. And I know that's a prop for sure.
Yeah.
So, those are my two.
Yeah, I was looking up props before you had it and just to see exactly what you could bet on because sometimes I get confused. But yeah, you know, does not go the distance or, you know, just fight ends in the first round. Doesn't matter who wins, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, for me, okay. So, of course, now I'm doing two props in a parlay and a 5-5 parlay. My two props, I have a Kizriev by TKO. And then I have Vivian Arujo and Natalia Silva going over 2.5 rounds. I think it'll go the distance on that one. And then for my 5-fight parlay, this one's going to be interesting because I got a couple of underdogs in this. But I'm going Roman Dolidze, Renato Moicano, Vivian Arujo, Themba Garimbo, and Thomas Peterson. So.
Arujo, Gimbo, Peterson. I'm writing these down too. So go that man. A $50 bet on that one's going to get you about $2,000, I think.
Yeah. So
sometimes you work out the odds. Did you do it this time or no?
I didn't do it this time. I was about
to. Okay. So you know what? Check our Discord. I'll put a bet on this one and I'll post what the potential winnings are. But my gut tells me it's going to be about $2,000 on a $50 bet. So we'll see what happens. Big card, 13 fights, as you just ran down. And I like the way you did this with the odds. And I'll make sure to get the MMA, the ESPN one up next time so that I can follow along with you and, you know, fill in some thoughts when I have. I've got it up now. And I like the way they do it, where you got the odds right there. But, yeah, it does suck that they don't really show any of the fighter results or anything. So from the Apex on Saturday afternoon into the evening, and follow me and Ryan on Twitter, and check the Discord, and we can all talk about it. So that is that. And then not only that, but there is some other MMA this weekend on the regional scene. We got one's got one of their minor shows on Friday, my birthday, Friday night or Friday morning, 7:30 Eastern from Bangkok. Nothing big there. Triller has a XKO fight from Dallas, your neck of the woods, at 8 p.m. on Friday night. We got Samurai Chapter 9 on UFC Fight Pass from Quebec. Never heard of that one. I don't know if you know anything about them. Tough Enough 135 from Las Vegas. Isn't that where Ronda Rousey started her career in that promotion, I think?
Yeah, a lot of people.
Yeah. I haven't seen them on Fight Pass though, so I don't know if that's new. But Friday night at 10 p.m. Eastern on UFC Fight Pass. They've
been on them ever since they kind of did, since they kind of started doing more pro fights because it used to strictly be amateur.
Oh yeah, it was amateurs. Fights. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. I was just looking at the card because I saw Marquez in the main event, and I thought maybe it was the UFC fighter, but no, obviously not.
No.
Nobody of note on that card. Lux Fight League on Friday night as well, 10 p.m. Eastern on UFC Fight Pass from Pueblo, Mexico. And Road to UFC on Saturday.
I forgot to mention that they're also doing Road to UFC finals from this past edition of it.
Oh yeah, the show from Southeast Asia.
Yeah, yeah, they were supposed to do them in
that card that was moved in early December, right? Late November.
Yeah, and then so they're doing this as a separate show. Last time they did the Road to UFC, they did them actually on a UFC main card.
Yeah,
UFC card. So technically all those fights were UFC bouts. I didn't think they wanted it that way, but yeah, they got Ronzu in it, and he used to fight in the UFC, but was cut after a loss to Ignacio Bahamondes. But yeah, only three fights because they had one fall out, the 135, one fell out.
Yija is fighting on the card as well, and he's fought in the UFC as well before. He fought Young Jung Lee that's fighting on this card. Same guy.
That's right. Yeah.
So this that's is right. Friday, Saturday.
Everyone, it's happening right after the UFC show ends on Saturday night.
So yeah, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. There's going to be there might be negative people in the building for this show. I'm amazed. But yeah, I guess they're putting it on late. So for the crowd, for the audience out in Southeast Asia, that might be tuning in that's been following this series. So, and that's it, I think. Fury Challenger series on YouTube, but that's not like one of the main ones that they put on Fight Pass. So probably guys trying to get onto those main cards. But yeah, that's about it. I don't know if there's any other ones that you noticed that I missed.
No.
Yeah, I think I got everything.
No.
Okay. All right. So that is...
I think we got everything in.
Busy weekend on Fight Pass for sure. All right.
Yep.
And we got to talk about it. I mentioned one, but they've got some issues.
Well, I mean, I would say there's issues. There's a lot of just stuff going on. It seems it's mostly like stuff on social media, but even it seems like there's a lot of fighters who are very frustrated with the promotion. And of course we've talked about how there's a lot of people speculating about their money issues, and they just brought their former the guy Victor Tui, who used to kind of run it, they just brought him back today, when it was run underneath him, there was a lot of issues, let's just put you that way. And then on this past card that they had, there was an issue with Sage Northcutt. He was supposed to fight Shinya Aoki, but literally like an hour before the show, they notify Northcutt that Uriah Faber and somebody else that had flown out to be his corners, their visas weren't approved, so they had to be taken to the airport and whisked right back away to America. And so Northcutt, they offered to get Northcutt just some local coaches to be in his corner. And so Northcutt ended up not fighting Aoki, and John Lineker, who just happened to weigh in at the weigh-ins just in case something happened somewhere, ended up fighting Aoki because Lineker only weighed 151 and Aoki weighed like 170. So it was an open weight fight with Aoki having like a 20-pound weight advantage. He just ran through Lineker and submitted him easily, and just a lot of bullshit kind of going on there, and just jeez, their whole chances for survival are starting to look slimmer by the day. So
yeah, they just had a card what you're talking about all happened this past weekend on debut in Tokyo.
Yeah, so yeah,
I think it's their debut.
Yeah, I don't think it was their debut there, but
oh okay. Yeah, that's the one we talked about last week, though, with Sexyama fighting and Martin Wynn.
He lost in the first round.
Yeah, yeah. So I totally forgot about that. But yeah, and Sage Northcutt did not fight. Shinya Aoki, good Lord, still going. I don't really like the prospects of one. I mean, I got to say, I used to love this promotion, and I used to watch all their cards, and just the last few years, it's, as they have been trying to break through in North America, it's just not happening. I don't know.
Yeah, they have champions complaining about not getting booked at all, and it's just a mess that they have going on. And it's more so stuff like like you really have to follow one on social media to kind of get a grasp of.
Yeah, yeah. The fights themselves are usually pretty good, but it's just yeah, it's a hard company to follow. Too bad for them. All right, we got some news, we got some more details on Kayla Harrison in the UFC, which was our breaking news last week that we kicked off the show with.
I mean, I don't necessarily want to say it's more details, but the biggest concern that everybody has, of course, and we talked about it, was whether she can make 135. And Dana White has claimed that she has already done a cut to 135 and made it. Whether that's true or not, who the hell knows? Kayla hasn't said anything publicly. I think she was supposed to do an interview with Ariel Helwani that got canceled last moment for whatever reason. They didn't say. So we really haven't heard anything from her. I know Holly Holm came out and said that if she misses weight, like Holm won't fight her. That's gonna be the biggest question. And honestly, like if Kayla thinks she can make 135 and she has that, you know, the UFC Performance Institute, which is available all fighters, you know, who are currently under the UFC roster. And I think they even still help out fighters who used to be on the roster, but weren't there, but still come in and train with UFC fighters. They have the best nutritionists that money can get when it comes to MMA nutrition. So, and all these kind of doctors who can do all sorts of tests and can tell you, you know, that you can make it. I don't think they would run the risk of having Kayla fight at 135 if nobody there believed that she couldn't make it. She's going to have the best care. They'll set up nutrition packages for everything. Like the UFC, they're not going to invest in Kayla Harrison and put her at 135 if they don't believe that she can make it.
I will say that if they thought that it was even going to be a challenge, they would have just booked it at 140. You know, like they would have done a 140-pound catch weight, see how just she does, see if she has any issues getting to 140, and then try to do 135 in the next fight. Yeah. So by them going right to 135, that tells me that they're pretty confident.
Yeah. And of course, now Cyborg or her husband who does her Twitter account, and everybody thinks they're talking Cyborg, coming out today talking about how she's having issues in negotiations with PFL and all that.
Of course she is.
All that. So she's even talking about wanting to go back to UFC after all this. So
she's going to have to get to 135. No question.
Yeah. That's going to be, she's going to have to go to 135, and something that I don't have listed, but this past week we saw a lot of fighters who were signed to Bellator whose contracts were absorbed by PFL, and the whole thing, a lot of them were being released. There's, you know, a lot of fighters who aren't going to be in the PFL season. We're getting released. Mm-hmm. I know Josh Hill, Sydney Outlaw, Alejandro Lara, a couple other female fighters. There were several notable fighters that got released from their deals. And a couple of them were outspoken because they believed that PFL was going to be bringing them on and at least keeping them on the Bellator cards, which, you know, they're only running 8 Bellator shows. Yeah. And it kind of feels like those Bellator shows are going to be, you know, a couple of named fighters from Bellator on top and a bunch of local fighters.
Like they always do on these European shows.
Yeah.
That's what those European shows are. Josh Hill and Alejandro Lara out of that list are two that I think UFC should snap up. But Josh Hill, I mean, he's got a great record, good fighter. You know, kind of a friend of a friend of us. So keep an eye on that and keep an eye on Kayla. I mean, that's coming up. I mean, what, just under two months away, right?
It's about 2.5 months. Yeah. But
yeah,
well, so, 11 weeks from now, because this is this coming Saturday is the first UFC in a stretch of at least 11 straight weeks going through UFC 200.
Good Lord.
It could be longer than that because we haven't heard if there's a show on April 20th or not. I know the UFC 300 is April 13th, and there's a show on April 27th, but I haven't heard about April 20th. So it could be at least 11 weeks, could be even longer than that.
Well, we're four or five weeks into the season now, and we've had 2 weeks off, or 3 weeks off. So we're due for a lot.
I appreciate my weeks off though.
Yeah. But now we're going to pay for it. Yeah. Over the next 11 weeks. All right. Alexandre Pantoja has a title defense lined up.
Yeah. Yeah. He said his next title defense is going to be at UFC 301. In May 4th, I believe is the date, in Brazil, which is interesting that they're putting that date, because you would assume if Brandon Moreno wins in Mexico City, that he's the number one contender. But then we're talking about that's an awfully quick turnaround of just barely 2 months, and who knows if he's going to be available. And then if you take him out of the equation, who is there really? Like, I don't know, you know, flyweight. I mean, there's no clear cut after that. I mean, you got, you know, the whole Matheus Nicolau and Manel Kopp fight falling apart. That kind of hurt that. I mean, Kai Kara Francis coming off a loss. You know, maybe go to Amir Albazi. He was supposed to fight Moreno and pulled out because of injury. I don't know that you go to him if he's – especially if he's not healthy. So, I mean, Nicolau may be the next option,
honestly, or Mohamed Mokaev, if he comes out this week, I mean, he might be the, or no, he's well, not,
Mo- fighting, not fighting. About? Yeah. He's not fighting, you know, he was supposed to fight on the Saudi Arabia card March 2nd, but with that being moved, don't know if he's actually on that show or not still. So
could be him.
So yeah, early. It kind of seems dangerous to commit to Pantoja fighting on that card without, you know, a set opponent.
Could he be speaking out of turn?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I mean, it makes sense. It makes sense to put him on the card. If you're going to have a pay-per-view in Brazil, you're going to want Brazilian champions on there, and it's only
just him. Who's going to fight? Yeah.
It's him and Alex Pereira. That's it for Brazilian champions. So it's a matter of who he's going to fight. Yeah.
I guess we'll see. Probably find out soon.
Yeah. Find out maybe in a month. You know, we'll see how Moreno comes out.
So. All right. UFC Atlantic City lost its main event.
Yeah. It's supposed to be Sean Brady against Vicente Luque. They haven't officially announced that it's off, but I have heard that it's off. That in fact, it was never actually signed. So I might have been an injury issue or an issue with definitely an issue with one of the fighters. I haven't heard the exact reason, but I've heard it's not happening. So they're in need of a new main event.
When's that card?
March 30th.
Okay. So we got time.
A little bit of time. And I would say worst case scenario, I know they stacked UFC 299 for a reason, but there's two pretty big fights on the prelims. The Curtis Blaydes and Jailton Almeida and the Matheus Gamero and Rafael Dos Anjos. I mean, you could move one of those fights to Atlantic City if you need to headline, and it won't hurt UFC 299 at all. So
yeah, either one of those fights would be solid.
If you move Piotr Jan and Song Yadong, you know.
Have they put tickets on sale for that show yet?
For Atlantic City? I don't think so.
Okay, so they got to name a main event soon then.
Yeah. So probably here soon. You know, we'll get a press release, you know, with that. So
probably by the time we record next.
Yeah.
All right. And this I know. UFC 298. They're trying the $10 discount again.
Yeah, they're trying the $10 discount that they did. Same thing they did with UFC 297, where if you order by 11:59 Pacific time on the Monday before the show, you get it for $10 off. So, going to be kind of interesting how they do that. Obviously, they're doing this because you know, there's been a lot of complaints about price increases over the last few years. And you know, they didn't increase this year. And I remember them sending out surveys last year about, you know, possibly discounting shows. And some of these shows that they feel like maybe might be hard sells, you know, they're doing a discount if you buy a certain period. the interesting thing to me will be coming up is I don't imagine they're going to do this for UFC 300. And it'd be interesting to see if they had to do this for UFC 299 because that's a big card with Sean O'Malley in his first headliner. Yeah. So that'd be interesting. And yeah, they did it for UFC 297, but this card, the 298 card is actually, you know, granted you only have one title fight as opposed to two, but this card's probably better than that one. Yeah. Definitely the main card is. I mean, you got Volkanovski, Topuria, Robert Whitaker, and Paulo Costa in the co-main, Jeff Neal against Ian Gary, Murad Dvalishvili against Henry Cejudo. Like those are stronger than the those four right there are stronger than the Toronto main card. And then Anthony Hernandez and Roman Kopylov as the fifth main card fight. Like that's a solid card. You know, it's better than the Toronto, not as good as 299, not as good as 300, but so it'll be interesting to see, you know, what they do price wise for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
But you know, the fact that they're doing it again tells me that, you know, maybe it worked a little bit the first time. So we'll see.
I think it probably did because all indications are that show did better than expected. You know, I know the prelims got a good number. You know, it was trending, you know, as a pretty good show. And that was on a night with tough competition. So I think the Sean Strickland stuff, he's got a fan base. You know,
I don't know that did that super well because you know, as we talked about, and I talked about it in the Observer newsletter, the fact that Dana scored the fight for Strickland in a split decision, but immediately said no immediate rematch, we're going to somebody else, kind of tells me that like the business numbers weren't there.
Well, that could also be that they were up, you know, that you had sponsors. You could have been upset last week.
Yeah, it could have been. You know, I think I don't. I can't say this for 100% certainty, but I think there was a little pushback. And while Dana will say, "Hey, we're all about free speech," which I don't know, you know, depending on who you ask, that may or may not be bullshit. But I think there was enough pushback to where they were like fearful, and you know, it might be a moment before we see Sean Strickland like in a non ESPN Plus kind of card situation,
non Apex card.
Yeah.
Charles Radke's fighting this weekend, so that tells you there is a little bit of free speech.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they're not gonna. I mean, those guys got their talking to, and they actually apologized immediately.
Yeah.
It's not like, you know, the whole Sean Strickland stuff. And then
no, he'll never apologize. Then,
yeah. So.
All right. Well, we'll see. I we'll probably never find out how that show did, but you know, if they keep doing this $10 off thing, that's probably an indication that at least they think it's working in some way.
I think it's working, and also an indication that you know we went too quick on our price hikes on stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, they went up every year for what, like six straight years. So
it's yeah,
a bit of a market correction.
Yeah.
All right. First Bellator show of the new era, and I took a look, and man, this. They got him one fight, and it's going to be a massacre.
Yeah.
Corey Anderson and Carl Moore.
Yeah, for the now vacant light heavyweight title, it's going to be in Belfast on March, I think. Yeah.
So this card's going to have, you know, all your, you know, your Fight Blast gym fighters on it. No doubt, you know, you're going to get that female fighter that seems to be on all those cards. And, I'm drawing a blank on some of these names, but they're on every one of these Ireland cards.
Well, and the thing about it is you don't necessarily know because you don't know who PFL is keeping and what's not either. So,
well, no, but like a lot of them are local fighters. So decent fighters, chance
but like people like Liam McCord and Charlie Ward and all that, they were signed to Bellator. So we don't necessarily know if they're sticking around, you know?
Yeah, but they're off to a interesting start. Yeah, Brian Moore, another name, you know, that we see on these cards. Peter Queeley, maybe James Gallagher. You know, these are the kind of guys you're going to see probably on this card. Will Fleury.
Yeah. Don Davis said set the schedule for PFL/Bellator this year is 10 PFL season events, 8 Bellator European series events, two pay-per-view super cards, as they call it, and then he didn't say an unspecified number of PFL Europe shows. So
I guess they'll be kicking off. We didn't. The name I was trying to think of, I just had it here. Sinead Kavanaugh.
Yeah.
That's the one that's on all these Ireland cards. So this is, I had the date up here, and then I got interested in March 22nd. And no, I would think that this show will air, probably won't even air in the US, but it'll air on like Spike in the UK and some of their international deals would be my guess. Yeah. Maybe it'll be on YouTube or something.
Maybe it'll be on DAZN. I don't know for sure. They
haven't. Oh, DAZN. Yeah. That's a good
thing. They haven't announced anything. But, so.
Yeah. But so they're running shows, I guess. And we haven't got a PFL schedule yet, but we should be getting that soon.
They said it starts in April. They said it starts in April. Yeah. I know that much.
Okay. Well, we'll keep you posted here and we'll watch these shows. Some of these shows, I would imagine, but probably not all of them. All right. We got some fight announcements to close the show. Yeah, and
not a whole lot this week. This week, all UFC, but UFC 299 on March 9th, Joanne Wood against Marina Moroz. It's a rematch from Moroz's debut when she upset, Wood when she was going by Joanne Calderwood. But
is that strawweight?
Yeah, no, 125 flyweight.
125, okay, flyweight.
Flyweight.
All right.
UFC Fight Night on March 23rd. A disappointment. Muhammad Usman, he's on the card. He was originally supposed to fight Chris Barnett, but we don't know what happened. Barnett's not fighting on the show. Usman's going to be fighting Mick Parkin instead. We have Edmund Shabazian returning against Dusko Todorovic, and then Carl Williams against Junior Taffa. UFC Fight Night, April 6th, we have Trevor Peak against Charlie Campbell and Alating Hale against Victor Hugo. We got a pair of fights added to UFC 300, April 13th. Sadiq Youssef against Diego Lopez. That's a good fight and a big spotlight fight for Lopez against a tough ranked opponent. And then Jessica Andrade against Marina Rodriguez. And then UFC
fight.
Yeah, and then UFC 301. May 4th, Rio de Janeiro, Joaquin Silva against Jakar Close.
All right. So, getting into May already. Jeez, yeah. Feels like the year just started, and that's like halfway through the year. So that's just about it. Ryan, you mentioned The Observer, so tell the people about where they can find your stuff, including that awesome Observer coverage.
Yeah, if you can. Yeah, I'm in the Wrestling Observer newsletter this week. It's a big issue because of everything going on over in WWE, something like 47,000 words. If you can make it through it, you'll find my coverage in there.
You're actually pretty early on in the issue this week.
It was the pay-per-view show. And people who don't think that we over there at the Observer call out UFC on stuff. Yes, I did call out about the Sean Strickland stuff in there, so read all about it. And then I gave my thoughts on stuff and my thoughts on media and what's right and what's wrong. I don't need people like Josh Thompson telling me what the MMA media's job is because he doesn't know what it is. And then front page coverage of all UFC events is starting back up this weekend on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com, Figure4Online.com, all this and that. So, yeah. And then Twitter,
all right.
Ryan J. Frederick.
All right. Now I'm on Twitter/X at Paul Ace Fontaine. I'll be hopefully tweeting this weekend on the watching the UFC show. I'll probably try to watch it close to live anyways. And I also do the Dynamite show on later tonight on the Fight Game Media YouTube channel. And it'll be in your audio feed tomorrow morning. Myself and Jeff Hawkins breaking down Dynamite. And thank God I don't have to talk about Vince McMahon on any of these shows.
Let's not talk about him here.
No. Even though he's allegedly has something to do with UFC. But last week we closed off the show with some breaking news. So I thought, why don't we close off this show with some breaking news? Or we opened the show with breaking news last week. So are you ready? I don't think you knew about this, that I have some breaking news for us for this week. Did you know? All right, here we go. Get ready. Just a little joke. So, Ryan, why don't you take us home like you always do?
I don't know what the hell that was, and I apologize. if you're still listening after that, thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show. Enjoy the fights this weekend. Have a great week.
Later.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.